Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Andre Johnson.
And I'm Malika.
Just Malika today, huh? Just Malika. Jesus Christ. Woo. Anyway, she's just Malika today, y'all. So, we're just going to keep it going because this is episode 7 of Okay, Let's Talk. And we're just going to have fun with it. But I wanted to bring up, first of all, it's the first day of spring. I hope everybody is healthy and safe out there. It just seems like this pandemic thing is slowly loosening up, but I just encourage everybody not to put your guard down. Just make sure you're being safe and healthy out there.
Wear your mask, wash your hands.
Yeah, man. Listen, I hear what the news is saying. Things are like loosening up a little bit. But I just wanted to encourage everyone that like we are going to get back to our loved ones and we all got to do it together. Just transition into this new way of life. So hope everyone's doing well and safe. But today, I just wanted to highlight, it's the first day of spring, and I just wanted to highlight some really dope stuff that my wife is doing. And we're going to talk about it. And she has a podcast called Paralegally Speaking.
Paralegally Speaking.
Right, Paralegally Speaking. And I'm just so proud of her. And I know that she's... it's just getting better and better based on some of the episodes that I was able to listen to. So Malika, just tell the people what made you even come up with that.
Now I feel like you interviewing me.
I probably am. Jeez. I interview anybody I talk to, I guess. That's how I download information, man. Mm-mm. Yeah.
So what did you say again?
See, I said, tell the people why'd you even think about coming up with that podcast. I just thought it was brilliant. So I wanted everybody else to know about it who didn't know about it.
Well, all right. So people that may or may not know, I'm a paralegal. I went to school to obtain my bachelor's in paralegal studies, and I've been in the realm for about 20 plus years. What I noticed, though, throughout my years of working is that I was either the only paralegal that was black in a setting or one of the only female paralegals who were black in a setting. And with that, you know, the tenure in a sense was fast and high turnover. I felt that there were a lot of things that paralegals are not introduced to coming fresh into the field. Paralegally Speaking is that platform for me to sit down with other paralegals who look like me to talk about our shared experiences, what we've been through, what we do, highlight each other, motivate each other, because oftentimes we don't get that time to shine as a paralegal. All the shine normally goes to attorneys or a firm or so that we're working in. The paralegal is kind of in the background and doesn't, you know, receive the recognition for everything that we do to support the attorneys on certain cases. So that's Paralegally Speaking.
That's pretty dope. And obviously you can catch Paralegally Speaking on Spotify, Anchor.
Mm-hmm. It's on most of the podcasts that this show airs on.
Yeah, so wherever you get your podcast, definitely tune into that. So I got to ask you, though, just from the episodes that I've been tuning into, a lot of these women that you talk to, man, are they ridiculously bright? Like, they're incredible. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know much about that field. I know obviously what you do now, but as far as like what your title and all that in regards to what your title is, but I didn't know that there were so many different areas of law where it would need a paralegal. Now, it makes sense that a paralegal is needed in almost every area of law. Is that not correct? Or?
Well, yes. Yes and no.
There you go.
Yes and no. But think of it like this. Every business, every entity has some aspect where law resides. And where that law resides, there is going to be a need for an attorney to oversee the process and procedures that go along with that mm-hmm. department or so. Within a law department, the lawyers need assistance to help them do their job. That looks like a paralegal, or sometimes it may be cited as a legal assistant. So yes, paralegals can be found in most all areas, entities where law or a law department is present.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, this next question is interesting because
I really feel like you set this up for an interview. I didn't.
Well, it's not. Not an interview. I just like the more you talk about it, the more I'm intrigued. I mean, shoot, I may go take my LSAT.
You don't need the LSAT for it to be a paralegal.
Hey, man, just be a good paralegal. I don't know. I have no clue what I'm supposed to do.
I can't with you.
But I know who to go to if I wanted to be, right? Mm-hmm. See, that's why this is important. Paralegally speaking is dope because mm-hmm. how about you mess around and talk to somebody who inspires or aspires to be a paralegal?
Right.
And you... Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the platform is available for them to get as much information as possible.
It is.
You know, I mean, especially like people who are like undetermined. Like, you know how you go to school and people are like criminal justice majors and this major and they're undetermined and they don't really know what to do, but they want to be in some type of a law setting, but don't really know what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So this leads me to the question that I wanted to ask you. One of the interviews I listened to, it was kind of amazing to me that, remember I said, well, what other areas of law that needs a paralegal? So tell me which one that you, one of your interviews that kind of like surprised you or opened your eyes to like, wow, that is interesting.
I don't know if I can say just one area. Estate planning was interesting to me in the sense that I didn't know how much went into estate planning from a paralegal perspective because I've never had the opportunity to work within an estate planning. Let me back up and say sometimes people confuse the fact that you're a paralegal or you work within a legal realm. In their mind, they think, you know, all areas, all aspects of law, just because you say you work within a legal realm, and that's not true. There are multiple concentrations of the law that sometimes you are exposed to them in school, but you've never worked in those spaces in real time. So I say all that to say the estates space intrigued me when I was speaking with the one paralegal about what she does in an estate planning firm because I've never had an opportunity to work in an estate planning firm. So that area was interesting. Another area was IP law. Again, another area that I've never had an opportunity to work in. I've studied it in school and I know the basics of it, but I've never had the opportunity to work within that realm. So those two areas are intriguing to me.
Okay. So for the listeners and people out there listening, because I have no idea.
Intellectual property.
Oh, intellectual property law. Okay. Was that because one of the episodes that I listened to that I thought was interesting to me was when, is that the same one with the whole trademarking and, so that was the one I found interesting. The one that when they talk about trademarks and what else? It was trademarks and intellectual patents, property and patents. Patents.
Right. Because that was so interesting because, it dictates how you operate basically, especially for business owners, for creatives, for people having products that they want to push forward. Trademark, patent, that all goes hand in hand. So if you are a business owner or even if you have a name of a program and you don't want anyone to come up behind you and start using that name for something that you put all your hard work into, it would behoove you to file for a trademark so that way you can protect it. And again, I don't want to misspeak because I have not had the opportunity to work within that realm. But if you check out the Paralegally Speaking podcast interview, I speak with a paralegal who knows all about that field. And she's like really broke it down as to what is involved in that whole process and the benefits of trademarking, patenting, et cetera, et cetera.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty dope. So I thought that one was more intriguing to me because I always feel that I think since around 2000 so it's been about 21 years, I think we're in the entrepreneurial era. And a lot of entrepreneurs are out here creating things and just creating businesses and creating their own way, trailblazing new things. And that's an area that if they don't research or do Google, you know, Google, how do I LLC a business? How do I put a business down as like a DBA, like doing business as, or where do I go to trademark or copyright? Or so I think that episode would be beneficial to a lot of entrepreneurs just to get some type of information to kind of know what direction they need to go in to be legally squared away in a sense, right? Now, because just trademarking alone, if just by the little bit of knowledge I know about trademarking, is like you can be running a business and boom, you get a cease and desist letter sitting right in your mailbox because you have some type of trademark or logo or brand or something like that that's very, very close to somebody else that's already doing it.
Right. And this is from what I know about it as well, is different ways that trademark lives. So you can file a trademark to be used in certain areas. Like you could trademark the logo. You could trademark the verbiage. You can trademark any likeness or image of it. So all of that, you know, falls in line under trademarking. But again, if you are a business owner, a creative, anything to that extent where you think that your work may be duplicated by someone else, or you may be scared that you're duplicating someone else's work, I would say seek out an expert in that area and find out all you can about it so your work is not in vain.
All right, so, I mean, before we go on to something else, let the people know where they can find Paralegally Speaking.
On Facebook and Instagram. It's the web. Facebook and Instagram are social media pages. Paralegally-speaking is the website, and the podcast platform is Paralegally Speaking on Google Podcasts, Anchor Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your podcast at.
Oh, okay. Is it .com or .org?
.com.
.com. Paralegally-speaking.com. Okay. Nice. And are those episodes uploaded to the website?
Yeah. So if you go on a website, let me backtrack. So the website is set up in the way where I do provide paralegal coaching too for aspiring and current paralegals who just want to, you know, find out different ways that they can go about excelling in this career field. I do offer one-on-one sessions to, you know, give my expertise, kind of coach you so that way you can have longevity in this profession. But there's also a link on the website for the podcast.
Okay, nice. So you also do freelance paralegal consulting, right?
Yes, for those paralegals who are tired of the 9-to-5 and they want to branch out to try to start their own, I do offer things that I've picked up along the way, coaching exercises and modules that help you develop your niche in a certain area, network with attorneys who will basically be your clients, and, you know, stuff along those sorts.
So even if you're not a paralegal, and whether you want to get more information or not, there's also on paralegally-speaking.com, there's a blog on there I thought was pretty interesting. Like you have it, there's one that you have about time management for peace of mind that you posted, I believe, almost a month ago. And that one, I thought I read it and it's pretty cool. The Independent Paralegal is another blog on there. And just for information purposes alone, I think that those are just great pieces of blog. I think when you think of paralegal, you don't really think attorney, but you definitely think is in a law field. So talk to me about, like, if you're a paralegal and you want to transition, because think about it, you're in the law office more than likely, right?
Sometimes a law office or a corporation is different. Different settings.
And you see people moving and shaking and you see attorneys in and out and you know, they have to do whatever attorneys do. They got to go show up in court or meet deadlines or whatever the case may be. And you're a paralegal and I can't see where you can help but go, I want to, you know, that inspires me to just level up and become an attorney or somewhere else in that. Because on one of your podcasts, you were talking about a paralegal and how they're in a space and they want to grow from, I forget the word you use or the phrase you use, but you said you want to grow where you're planted. Is that something mm-hmm. like to that effect? Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about how a paralegal can just be sitting in an office and say, you know what, I want to move on. And what can they do from there?
Well, it depends on it all depends on what that move on looks like. Some paralegals don't want to aspire to become attorneys. Some do. Some want to just get all that they can out of being a paralegal, because a paralegal is essentially a profession. So mm-hmm. it's not like you say, I'm a paralegal, but I want to be something else more than. You can be fine with being a paralegal. That is a profession. It's a profession that pays well. It's a profession that opens many doors. And it's a profession wherein you gain a skill set that is transferable. So I don't want it to seem like you're a paralegal, but you haven't made it unless you go on to become a lawyer, because that's not the case. Paralegals are a profession in itself. But if you are a paralegal and you want to go above and beyond, I wouldn't say level up, because mm-hmm. again, as a paralegal, you made it, it's a profession. But if you want to go on and become an attorney, you have to consider, do you have your bachelor's degree? Because that's a prerequisite for entering into law school. The LSATs. You have to take
that's the one I'm about to take.
And that test, you know, comes with a cost. Of course. You know, you got to pay. You got to pay to take the test. It would behoove you to take the LSAT study course, so that way you can be prepared for the test. Be prepared for a test that's not really created for people like you and I, that, you know, that look like you and I, to excel in, because of the questioning. But that's a whole nother story. But
that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, the way that these standardized tests are not really created for us to really excel in, based off of the wording, I just don't feel that it's set up for us to succeed.
Oh, okay. I mean, hey, everybody got their own feelings. Mm-hmm. So I got it. Let's dive into like the real deal about people being in the law world. So imagine you're a paralegal, and correct me if I'm wrong. Apparently, paralegals can't give legal advice, right?
No, can't give legal advice all right, at all.
Because I've heard you say that a million times. But mm-hmm. imagine you're a paralegal to a defense attorney. Mm-hmm. Is that's a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So imagine you're a paralegal to a defense attorney. How do you find, and every one of your family and all your friends know that you work in some sort of law field, but they have no clue what you do, right? Mm-hmm. They know that you work in the law world.
You don't even know what I do.
I do. You're a legal analyst. So
now, but that's just another title. But all right, go ahead with your question.
Hey, listen. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not acting like I know everything, mm-hmm. but I do know a lot. So, but I ain't passed the bar, but I know a little bit.
I ain't passed the bar either.
So anyway, where do you find like the restraint? Because for years people go and say, oh, I got this problem, or could you reach out to my friend and he did this or she did that? They in trouble and they're this, what should I do next? And it's somebody real close to you. So how do you find the restraint not to give legal advice?
Well, one, because, it's an ethical violation for me to do that. And I know within this profession, if I want to continue to be a paralegal, I want to make sure that I'm walking at that line of doing what's in the scope of my professional career versus what's outside of the scope. I don't want to turn, how can I say it? All right, if someone came to me and was like, hey, I got this issue, what should I do? I know I can't give you advice on what to do.
Okay.
What I found myself doing was, let me put you in touch with such and such. They could better help you. Okay. You know, so that way I'm not putting myself out there telling them what I think they should do. Mm-hmm. And then they take in what I say to do as the word or, you know, what should be done. And then they go act on it. And then they come around and be like, well, Malika told me. Malika ain't telling you nothing because I can't get
it. You ain't heard it from me.
You ain't heard it from me. So I try not to put myself in those situations. I always say, let me direct you to, or let me put you in touch with, mm-hmm. you know, and that person will be an attorney. Because over the years in this field, I've gained a lot of, contacts and stuff. And a lot of my contacts are attorneys.
Okay. Being a paralegal is a professional career in the law field that, like you said, I think it needs to be highlighted more. Because one of the episodes, I believe it was episode 4 on Paralegally Speaking, when you talked about transferable skills. Where you talk about you have skills that can transfer into other areas of the law office and different things that you can do within the law office by being a paralegal. So just tell me about how did that conversation come about when you talk about transferable skills?
I really feel like you set this podcast up to be like an interview.
I'm just letting you know I'll be listening to your stuff. Like, I just think it's dope because I don't know anything about, like I said, if I want to know a little something, I go to podcasts, Google, YouTube. I download information from wherever I can get it from. I just remember what episode it was. I remember who you talked to. Hey, you know what? You should feel amazing that your husband is interested.
I remember
the episodes mm-hmm. and the people you talk to and all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just want to know, how could you, because that episode stuck out to me because I think no matter where you are and what profession it is, if you have transferable skills to excel in other areas in your company or, hey, for yourself, to if you want to be an entrepreneur or if you want to work a 9-to-5 or you want to work for a company or whatever the case may be, if you have transferable skills, you need to use those transferable skills to enhance your type of way of life.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, it's about improving your quality of life.
Right. So when I say transferable skills, specifically from a paralegal perspective, so the skills that you gain, you'll learn how to do research. You'll learn how to write. You'll learn how to organize. You'll learn time management. All of those things you use on a daily basis to get your job done mm-hmm. in a paralegal setting. Those skills can also be applied to other settings or other concentrations or other career entities in itself. We're no different than how I transitioned from the legal realm for that year to go into the nonprofit sector of a school, mm-hmm. where the skills that I learned from being a paralegal helped my role as executive assistant to the president of Girard College for that time, because she knew if you can be a paralegal, you have organization. I need somebody to help me organize my day to day. If you can be a paralegal, you know time management. There's only, 7 hours that I'm in this school setting with these children. I need somebody to prioritize my calendar. If you can be a paralegal, you know research. And you know how to proofread and write. So I was intricate in helping her look over policies and procedures to run the school. So that's what I mean, transferable skills. What do you have in your back pocket that you can pull out and apply in different settings?
Right. I agree. So I just wanted to make sure it was clarified because I had my own vision of what transferable skills are. And I wanted to kind of see what your perspective was mm-hmm. and how you...
And they transcend, not just a specific task that can be considered a transferable skill, but maybe you're a good communicator. Maybe you're a good... maybe you know how to design things. Maybe you're a good negotiator. Mm-hmm. all of those skills can be transferred into different settings to, you know, the best of your ability or to mm-hmm. highlight yourself in different areas.
I agree. And I know this is switching gears a little bit, but I see that in a lot. You know where I see that a lot? I see that a lot in barbers and mm-hmm. hairstylists mm-hmm. because a lot of barbers I know are incredible at creating. Mm-hmm. There's barbers right now that I know that is incredible with like interior decorating or landscaping or construction or building and creating things that I was like, yo, I didn't know you did that. It's like, yeah, man, you like, especially like my barber. I mean, this guy does everything from movie directing to writing. He has a few books out. He does lawnscaping. I guess it's called lawnscaping when they come out and they just beautify your whole property. Like, he does all those things, but I think it's an art.
Yeah, it's a skill, I think, too, because they use their hands to create, and then they have a sense, the keen eye for detail. You know, when they're doing your hair, when they're cutting your hair, they can apply that skill to your lawn. You know, they know how they want it to look.
Transferable.
Mm-hmm, it's transferable skill.
Yeah, man. So, this is, like I said, this could be found on paralegally-, mm-hmm. right? speaking.com mm-hmm. paralegally, you gotta spell it right, yo. paralegally-speaking.com mm-hmm. And also on there is, like I said, it's a bunch of information. It's podcasts, it's blogs, it's just general information, and if you go through the website, there's parts on there that's in my opinion inspiring. Like, if you read certain excerpts that's right from the website, it's pretty inspiring.
Oh, thank you, Andre. I appreciate that. I didn't expect to come on here and be interviewed, but I appreciate you taking.
Hey, man, you know, like, it's what we're here for.
That's good. So I guess next week we'll be talking all things Anomaly, huh?
Oh, we can. Hey, listen, I can talk Anomaly right now.
We're going to flip the table since we got a little bit more time.
Oh, hold on. How much time we got? Let me see, because I can talk. So let me see.
I know you can.
Let me see. All right. Well, we got a good five to ten minutes.
All right. So in 5 to 10 minutes, can you sum up Anomaly?
Absolutely.
What is Anomaly?
Well,
what
First of all, thanks for asking, Malika.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for asking. Anomaly, right from the beginning, let's start with just the definition. The definition of anomaly is to deviate from what's normal or expected. So my creative thought process with coming up with anomaly was, I just took a look back on my entire life. And, you know, and I think I can almost pinpoint it from when I had to move from one area of the city to the suburbs. And I was like, man, this is like a culture shock in a sense. But I kind of like contributed to that area of my life up till now. So, and I was looking at all the decisions I've ever made, all the places I've ever been, the people that inspire me, things that are just fun, like living life and, you know, and not being boxed in that I have to be in corporate America or I have to do a specific thing because it looks good for everybody. To me, I always thought that the happiest form, you're in your happiest form when you are your most authentic self. So I created Anomaly because I want to try to strive to stay in that form. So to me, that's deviating from what's normal or expected by anyone else. I realize that I'm the only one that can make myself happy. And when I'm the happiest, then I exude that happiness to my family, my children, my wife. I also recognize that I have a lot of faults and issues with a bunch of things. So if I just do the opposite and do like things that inspire me, to keep me happy, to keep me moving, I think that that's just the best way to stay healthy mentally, psychologically, and physically. So that transformed or whatever you want to call it into, all right, well, let me create something that can remind me of that. So that's how I came up with the word, the brand Anomaly. Right now is an athleisure brand, prayerfully and otherwise, this is just a beginning, that it can grow into inspiring the youth and whether it's a brick and mortar or online, to create what I like to call the Anomaly Academy. Nice little shameless plug. That shirt is actually online right now at www.anomalyofficial.com. There's a shirt on there that says Anomaly Academy. But those are just little peeks into the future of where I want to take it. So
You say athleisure brand. Is mm-hmm. it only athletic slash leisure clothing, or is it like, what exactly, what products do you offer through Anomaly?
Well, it's athleisure closure, but there are some, there's a few accessory items on there, like mugs and things that I, and it's funny because it's things that I really like. Like, for instance, I love to drink coffee. So obviously I have coffee mugs on there. And it depending on the time, what's going on in the culture. So obviously with the COVID-19 outbreak, the pandemic, I made sure I had neck gaiters on there, face coverings. So it does have a section with accessories, but it's athleisure gear for men and women, hats and crop tops and is a bikini on there for women. There is what they call rash guard shirts for men. You know, a lot of workout clothes. There's yoga pants. I have everything from socks to hats to tees, the long sleeve tees, the zip up hoodies to pullover hoodies. There's a champion and Anomaly hoodie on there that is doing pretty well. But man, it's take and we can be found everywhere. Anomaly Lifestyle Brand on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the website is www.anomalyofficial.com.
And so you touched on earlier too about how important it is for businesses to protect themselves. Are you looking into trademarking any of your taglines or you know, anything that you have on your shirt lines?
So right now, everything is simply just things that inspire me. Now, it would make a lot of sense if I, like you said, trademark taglines. I don't have a tagline other than deviate. Like I love the word deviate. Obviously, is in a definition of anomaly, but that's a word that's in a dictionary. But I, like, this is why we talk about paralegally speaking too, because I don't know if that's just a word since it's out of a dictionary. Can it be trademarked to deviate?
And that's where I say, let me refer you to, we'll
talk offline. Oh, because you can't give me legal advice, right?
Right.
All right. Well, hey, man, listen. Look, we're in this thing together, right? Mm-hmm. So, and it's I love it. It's my baby. But that's another podcast of how it helps sustain me through this pandemic. And just a shout out to everyone who's ever supported it. You know, like, I get orders from people in cities and countries I've never even heard of before, but I make sure that I either hit them with a nice little inbox or a chat or a thank you so much. I'm seeing a nice little uptick in people in other areas, like, that are not in, they're into athleisure gear, but they're into construction and sports casting and television and radio and wherever, corporate America. And it's like, man, this is just a beautiful thing to be supported. And you know what, let's shout out to my family, because there's some family members who bought a few things, and that's why it's interesting when people say, oh, nobody in my area supports me, or I gotta leave to do this or that. I think a lot of it is because we're too proud to ask. You know, some people, not everybody obviously, but you know, I was just fortunate that I had like my sister and my nieces and a couple other, you know, people in the family that just say, oh, cuz, that's yours, all right, I'm going to support, and they actually did. Like, support is in action, and I appreciate all of you. I love you and appreciate you, and I don't call people customers, I call them supporters, and I move on, and more blessings for Anomaly. That's how I look at it.
Yep, so good things on the horizon for Anomaly. That's good, Andre.
So am I being interviewed now? Is that what we're doing here?
What? Look, do you want to be interviewed? Because I didn't know this session was going to be an interview session. But
hey, man, listen.
You know, all right, well, where do you see Anomaly into the future? I know you said you were looking to turn it into an academy for the youth, but at this point in time, where do you see it going? Where do you see Anomaly in the next year?
That's a great question. So
I know.
That's a great question, Malika. I can go on. See, it's a beautiful thing when you can passionately talk about something that you really love, right? So last year we all got hit with the pandemic, and it was tough for a lot of people. In fact, I think that it kind of stifled some folks, but at the same time, it forced us to take a step back, recalibrate, and re-strategize on whatever you were doing before the pandemic hit. So one of the things I wanted to do last spring and summer was to market Anomaly in different cities to get a different following, whether it was in Boston or Chicago or New York or just different cities, Baltimore. And I'm very fortunate to have people and family in those areas and all, you know, in different parts of this country, mainly here, right here on the East Coast and the Midwest. So I was excited to like hit the road with it in a sense. So in this next year, maybe I can revisit that. So I was, like I said, I was pivoted. I just re-strategized and I just went a little heavier, obviously online and social media. Like I said, inboxing people and talking to people and it's social media, right? So you just got to be a little more social, especially with your business. And that's another shift that I did. I was more social with my business than I was with my personal page because I had to mind my business in a sense, right? So I think to answer your question, the next year is just to do what I said I was going to do. Expand in other cities. And I think that's what they say, the biggest flex is doing what I said I was going to do.
Right.
So,
when they say hustlers move in silence.
Yeah, I don't really, like, listen, it was beautiful. Like I said, I'm very blessed to have people in these cities that are saying, hey, are you coming to my city this week? I mean, not this week, but this summer or what have you. And I go, listen, let's set it up and let's make these moves. And
do you necessarily have to come to a city though, because you're virtual? Do you necessarily have to take it on as a tour in a sense to say, are you coming to my city, or can you just say, hey, I'm already in your city because I'm online?
Well, that's a great question. I think you just cornered me in saying yes and no. You just cornered me into saying yes and no. That's a little side thing that we talk about a lot. So, you know, I'm going to say yes and no. Anyway, wow, yes and no. So yes, but at least I'm going to explain both, right? So, yes, I think you do, because I come from an era, and part of my personality is I feel like I thrive when I'm more personable. I'm more one-on-one. I'm in your face, and what, you know, is a vibe, is a good energy. Not necessarily into like other cities where I don't know anyone yet. Like for instance, like I don't know anybody in Tulsa, Oklahoma per se, just to give you an example. But I know people in Oklahoma that I know I can connect with, but I know someone in Chicago. I know someone in New York. I know someone in obviously Brooklyn and Boston and Connecticut and Vermont and Virginia. Like I know, so it's just not, I think it would be better. I think if you're really going to do it, I don't want to just send some, I think online when you know these people is a little more impersonal. I think you want to be personal, especially when you have supporters. And if they're saying, hey, we would love to support you in our city, can you swing by our store, or swing by our area or our city? I think that type of relationship goes a long way, especially in retail.
Yeah, I could see that. But I guess I was leaning towards, you know, that you said I want to show up in these different spaces, but also you spoke to the fact that you have people overseas that have purchased the item, right?
I do.
So can you speak on what would that look like then? Because if you're saying, yes, I want to be personable and I want to go where my supporters mm-hmm. are, your supporters are where you are though, because you're virtual, you are online right now, online presence. So are you saying when you become a brick and mortar, mm-hmm. you would like to have more of those in-person personable interactions?
Yeah, shout out to my man George in Spain. He's been a supporter. That's where I got my first overseas, out of the country order from, is Spain. And I mean, this guy, you know, he's an athlete. He plays, and I never met him a day in my life. Like, it was just one of those, hey, I love this brand. We're going to be found. And through Instagram. And I just, you know, I shot him the website. I said, hey, the link is in the bio. In fact, when you get your item, can you give me some feedback? Let me know what you like about him. He wrote a nice review. And apparently he's over there and he spread the word. Now, if I'm ever in Spain, I would love to look him up. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean by the energy and the vibe. Like we built a relationship just through Instagram, right? And then when I did my research about him, this guy plays basketball. He's part of the national team in Spain, and his teammates said, "Hey, that's a nice Rashguard shirt, one of the workout shirts." And one of his teammates bought a Rashguard shirt. And, you know, so it's that type of business that I want to do. I want to do business with, obviously, good people. And I want to do business with people who actually believe in a brand and supporting for a reason. And that's the relationship I think any type of business will want. Someone who does it because they really believe in it and they support it, not just because.
True. That's good. That's all good things. All good things coming for you and Anomaly Brand. So
that's what's up. So I like how you spent this. My interviewing you turned to you interviewing me. Mm-hmm. You think you slick with it?
No, you think what?
It's all good. So we're going to end that because we're at about the 42-minute mark, and we usually try to keep these things 30 minutes to 40 minutes. So we appreciate everybody that's tuned in and listening to Okay, Let's Talk. Spread the word just like it is. Okay, Let's Talk. Look it up on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. All right?
All right.
We out. Peace.